We're reading Leviticus chapter 23. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, in the Hebrew language called the Feast of Sukkot. Let's begin reading chapter 23, back to the portion we read last Sunday with verse 33. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say, on the 15th day of the seventh month will be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. It is a holy day. You will not work on that day." Verse 36 and on describe the different sacrifices that they were supposed to make. And then in verse 22, it says, 42, it says, "You will dwell," or "you will live in these booths for 7 days. All those who are native Israelites will dwell in these booths so that your generations," in other words, your children, "they will know that I made them," that is Israel, "live in the booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so we see that this is the seventh of the holidays, the holy days, the special feast days that God gave to his children Israel. It's called the Festival of Booths because they would cut down branches from different trees, specifically on a future Sunday we will look at this, but they were to cut down the branches of four specific types of trees, and one of the trees that they would cut down the branches was the palm tree. And that was very important because we see on Palm Sunday, it's called for that day, that people waved the branches as Jesus came into Jerusalem, and they sang Hosanna, waving their palm branches before the Lord. But that will be on a future Sunday. One of the other things that we notice is that this was a festival or a time of joy in the land of Israel because the final harvest had been gathered. Literally, as we've studied these festivals here this spring and this summer, we have had messages that coincide almost to the day that they occur. We had the feast of, or the Day of Atonement several weeks ago, and literally today, we're right in the middle of the 7 days that Israel is celebrating this Feast of Booths. If you go out into the Fairfax area, you might see some of the homes decorated, and the people actually spend their night. They have their meals in these little temporary shelters that they have built that remind them, as God says in his word, that God, when he brought them out of Israel, for 40 years they lived in the desert in these temporary shelters that they lived in, that they had built. It was a time of great joy, as I say, because as they remembered what God had done for them, not only for 40 years, but once they came into the promised land, every year when they celebrated the harvest, they would come and praise God that God had sent them a rain, that they had had a good harvest, and that now they had gathered it in. This is also called the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of the Final Harvest. And now they had enough food to last them until the next year, through the springtime, through the planting season, through the growing season, until next year in the harvest. They had gathered it in, and that was the basis of everything that God had done for them. This was the most important of the seven feasts. And by the time we get to the time of Jesus, if you read chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, it became simply known as the feast. It says that Jesus, he came to the feast. And everybody knew what the feast was. This was the day of thanksgiving for Israel. Prophetically speaking, looking into the future, this describes to us the time when Jesus comes, his millennial kingdom on earth, when he gathers in his people Israel into this kingdom. He brings his church with him, and we enter into it. It's also the time that Isaiah promised. He says, this is the one that will come and will be the Prince of Peace that the world anticipates. This is also the promise that God made to David when he said that one of your seed will forever sit on the throne of David. All of this prophetically looks forward to the time when Israel will celebrate this in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so we have the past, we have the present, and we have the future aspects of this tremendous holiday or holy day. And today I'd like us to look briefly at one of four specific things that Israel was supposed to remember when they celebrated this festival. Historically speaking, as I say, it reminds them of when God brought them out into the desert and he provided for them graciously for 40 years. The very temporary nature of the booths reminded Israel and reminds them today, and also reminds us as his church, as God's chosen children today, that everything that we have on earth is temporary. We are on our way to our eternal home through, in quotes, the journey through the desert. Our life, that's our equivalent of Israel's 40-year journey through the wilderness. And God graciously provided for Israel, and God graciously provides for us today. The Lord reminds us when he taught his disciples to pray, that we are to be dependent every day upon God providing for our daily needs. Jesus taught his disciples, teach us today to receive the bread that you give us. And of course, living in America, it's hard for us to understand what it means to be hungry. It's hard for us to understand that if God had not provided the harvest from the past year, Israel would not have anything to eat all winter and all spring and all next year's summer until the next year's harvest. We are totally detached from what it means to understand daily bread. Like my grandson says, Grandpa, let's just go to the store. I don't have any money. Well, you can go to the bank and get some money from the machine. You see, we grow up in a society that does not understand what it means to depend on God. Specifically, during the journey today, I'd like to bring to our attention two things that this festival reminded Israel. The first one is in Exodus 13. If you go home and you read this, take your notes. Remember that God led them during the day with the cloud. And at night, God led Israel with the pillar of fire. Specifically, remember when they left Egypt, the chariots of Pharaoh began to pursue Israel. And it says when they came to the river that day, in front of them there was the river. There was no place to go. They could not go forward and they could not go backwards because Egypt was there. And it says that the cloud miraculously surrounded the children of Israel. And when you read there verses 21 and 22, it says that the light that was the angel of the Lord, that was Jesus Christ himself, he went before the people as a light that would guide them and as he would lead them. But behind Israel, in the eyes of the Egyptians, all they saw was darkness. And so God miraculously was leading them forward and protecting them in back with the darkness that the Egyptians could not see through. Thy word is a light unto my path, the psalmist says. What is the way that we are on? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Along the way in life, Jesus leads us and directs us with our light, with the light that he is. On a future Sunday, we will stop, because during the Feast of Tabernacles, we will stop and look at what the light of Jesus Christ means to us today. Jesus stood up in the middle of the festival and he said, I am the light of the world. He who comes to the light will not dwell in darkness. 1 John that you guys went through with Serge on Friday nights, you went through what it means to be a child of the light and a child of the darkness that belongs to Satan. The contrast there. The second thing I'd like to talk about this morning is the fact that Israel is reminded by God when they celebrate in these booths, when they live there, that God provided miraculously for them for 40 years specific things that human beings in our bodies need. Two things: we need food, we need bread, we need daily bread. But even more important than that, we need water. And today I'd like to bring our attention to the fact that for 40 days, and God reminds Israel, for 40 years, God provided water for Egypt, for Israel when they came out of Egypt. As human beings, our bodies have a continuous need for bread and for water. Just 3 days after they left Egypt, they ran out of the water that they took from Egypt. And they come to a place It's called the desert of Shur, Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. They find some water there, and when they begin to drink the water, they discover that the water is bitter. They cannot drink this water. And I don't know specifically why the water was bitter, but I believe God made the water bitter to teach Israel a lesson. Because God brought Israel to the bitter water. They did not come there themselves. Scripture is clear that the light went before them, the cloud of light, and they followed the Lord to this pool of water, or to this body of water. Normally, water is not bitter, unless you go to the Dead Sea. But this was not the Dead Sea. Normally in Israel or in the Middle East, if you come to water, it is fed by internal underwater springs. So there's a reason why the water was bitter. And I believe that God made it that way in order to teach them a lesson about how bitter life is without the presence of God. And after they could not drink this water, God does a miracle for them. He tells Moses, and he points Moses to a specific tree. Not just any tree in the middle of the desert, but to one specific tree. And he tells Moses to cut down the tree and to throw it into the water. And when he throws the tree into the water, the people begin to drink the water, and the water instantly turned sweet. In the New Testament, we see a tree that turns the bitterness of sin into the sweetness of redemption. And that tree is none other than the tree on which Jesus Christ died. And from it flow the rivers and the springs of living water, as Jesus told to the woman at the well. Was it magic? Absolutely not. Was it a miracle? Absolutely. Is there symbolism in there for us today? Absolutely. It refers and it points us to the living water that is Jesus Christ himself. And in John chapter 7 through 9, on one of the feasts of the tabernacles, Jesus stands up and says, I am the living water. It's the same thing he told the woman at the well. He says, if you drink the water that I offer you, you will never again be thirsty. Later on, we come at the end of chapter 15 in Exodus 15, verse 27. Israel comes to another place. It's called the place of Elim. It was an oasis in the middle of the desert, and scripture tells us there were 12 wells of water there. And there were 70 palm trees there. An oasis in the middle of the desert. 12 wells. Could it perhaps be God providing for them, for the 12 sons of Jacob? I don't know, but it's an interesting thing thought to consider. There were 70 trees there, palm trees. How many people left the promised land to go to Egypt when Joseph brought his father and his household to Egypt? 70 souls. God, is this a miracle? I don't know, but is it magic? Absolutely not. It was a miracle. Symbolically, does it speak to us today? Yes, it talks about the fact that whether or not the 12 wells were there for the 12 children of Israel, we don't know. But for us today, Jesus provides for every single one of us our individual needs that we have. Whether there's 12 of us here today or 70 of us here today, for every single one of us, Jesus Christ today is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our daily bread. Remember that God brought them to this place. Symbolically for the Christian, when we follow the Lord brings us to an oasis in the middle of the desert of our life, and he gives us rest. He gives nourishment to our soul, to our thirstiness, the water. Later on, we come to Exodus chapter 17, first 7 verses. God is leading Israel, and he brings them to a place where, again, there is no water. Our time is coming to an end, and we'll pick up on this subject. But I'd like you to read Exodus chapter 17. Also, I'd like you to read Numbers chapter 20. And then next Sunday, we'll pick up on two more examples where God leads them and brings them to water and miraculously provides water for them for their nourishment on a daily basis in the desert. Amen.